begin the current daf Masechet Yevamah, it's daf Chav Tes. We begin on the bottom of Chav Ches Mem Beis, the last words on the daf, quoting from the Mishnah previous daf. That is, we had in the past two Mishnayos the opinion of the halacha of Achay Zekuka. What Achay Zekuka means, which was conceptualized in the first Mishnah of the Perek and the second one on the previous daf, either with four brothers or three brothers, that two brothers who were married to two sisters died without any children, falling in front of one or two Yevamah. Now, they cannot be taken in Yibam, because although biblically they are falling from two different brothers, however, they are Chayz Zekukas, which the Talmud Chacham's opinion is a rabbinic problem, because a Zakuk, a woman that has a Zika of Yibam to you, is like some type of rabbinic quasi-kedushin. So you can't go ahead and do Yibam to any one of them, because when you're going to be doing to that one, you'll be engaging and encountering the Achayz, the sister of the Zekuka, which is some type of a wife, like a rabbinic wife, so it's a chayis isha, so each one is problematic to do yibum because she's in some type of erva of a chayis isha through zika, and therefore you have to do chalitza and you can't do yibum. You're not totally exempted because it's not really a chayis isha, it's not a real erva, so you have to do chalitza, not yibum. That was the opinion of Tanakam. Rav Shimon's opinion was introduced in the previous Mishnah where he said actually poiter, like a full-fledged erva, no yibum, no chalitza. And the reason for that is because he makes a drashin lesika chlitzra, where he learns that if they're tsaris, if they're rivals through Zika, meaning they're both falling in Yibum at the same time to the Yavam, then that's where the Pasuk is coming to exclude and say that the parash of Yibum does not apply to them, and hence they're like a regular Eishes Ach, Shesh Labanim, and therefore they're like an Erva that's totally removed from the midst of Yibum, and they're totally exempt. Now, the Mishnah then concluded, after it said this, Machlekes Tam, the Kamen Reb Shimon, with two halachas. First one being, regarding if, although we're saying when you have a chayis akuka, where again the Tanakam holds you do chalitza, not yibum, and Rav Shimon says you're totally exempt because of his drasha, it says, but if one of them is an erva, so then she's not falling to him, so only the sister's falling, so then they could do a yibum or chalitza tahar. So the Gemara asks, we already learned that from the previous Mishnah, that concept, that then it's not going to be a chayis akuka, because only the one that's not the erva is going to be falling, because the erva one's not falling. So the Gemara says, we needed it according to the opinion of Rav Shimon. That's something we would not have known because according to Rav Shimon, it's not just a rabbinic problem you could run into. You actually could be running into a biblical problem because he learns that this halacha is halacha of an erva d'oraisa. So that's why he said, that's why he had to say that. Now the Gemara concludes from the Mishnah. Mishnah then said, Isser mitzvah. If one of them is not erva, rather she's only a rabbinic erva, meaning a shnius min d'oraisa, then the halach is, so then chelzos v'lo mis'abmas. Then both of them need chalitza, and they don't need yibum. Now the Gemara continues at the top of Chortes Amid Aleph and asks, so we're talking about that this is for the halacha of Reb Shimon, because for the Tanakama, we already said that also regarding Issa Mitzvah, just like we asked regarding the Issa of Erva, that we know that if one of them is only a rabbinic Erva, so she's not biblical, that she could say she's not falling at all, she falls for yibum. So then, that's why we know, of course, you have to do chalitza and not yibum to either one, because she's still, the other one's still going to be a chayis akuka. There's still two sisters falling. Tahar, you obviously, the one that's a mitzvah, that's a rabbinic erva, for sure you can't do yibum, because rabbinically you can't consummate a relationship with her. And the other one, you also can't do yibum, because she's a chayis akuka, so you do chalitza and not yibum to both of them. So obviously, we'd be telling us, according to Reb Shimon's opinion. But in that, the Gemara asks, well, how could this be going according to Reb Shimon, that in the case when one of them is an Isser Mitzvah, then you do Chalitza to them and not Yibam? But V'amar Reb Shimon said, and this was the opinion that we quoted in our Mishnah, Shtei Achayos, when you have two sisters falling for Yibam, Loi Chaltzos V'lo Misamos, you don't do Chalitza or Yibam. Now, here, why would we need Chalitza if, biblically, they're both fit for Yibam? And therefore, even the Isser Mitzvah, the one that's a rabbinic erva, is Zakuk, so that makes it two sisters that are tsaris each to each other in the Nefila, and that's the opinion according to Reb Shimon and Mishnah, that he exempts the Achayis Zekuka even from Chalitza. So why, if one of them is an Isser Mitzvah, you say, okay, in the Tanakam we understand if it's a rabbinic erva, so you can't do Yibum, and she's not also like an erva to say that now you could do anything to the other one, yibum or chalitza. It's somewhere in the middle, so you have to do chalitza and not yibum. But according to Reb Shimon, if biblically we view her as falling, because it's only rabbinic erva, so then that means they're both achayis akukas. If they're both achayis akukas, so then they're totally exempt because of his drash of lesikah chalitza from the halach of yibum chalitza. So yes, we know you can't do yibum to the other one, but moreover, you shouldn't even need chalitza. So I think my answer is, it is going according to Reb Shimon. It's a gezeir mishum issa mitzvah diyama. There's a rabbinic concern over here because of a regular issa mitzvah. And that is, if we were to allow, which this halacha should be, to totally exempt these two sisters falling from these two brothers, now the one who's going to witness this, he's going to think, the reason why that this other one is exempted is not because she's the sister of the Zakuka, meaning both of them are sisters of the Zakuk, which according to Reb Shimon is totally exempt from the Yivam. He's going to think, wait a second, I know that this woman, one of the two sisters, is an Isser Mitzvah, she's a rabbinic erva, she's a secondary erva to this Yavam. Oh, that means she's like an erva, and that's why she's excluded from even Chalitza. Now, if someone's going to witness that, so then when there's a regular Isser Mitzvah, which is not from two sisters, he's going to say that she's even going to be exempt from Chalitza. He's going to assume that the reason why is because, oh, why isn't she having even Chalitza? What do you mean? She's just a rabbinic erva. A rabbinic erva requires, according to everybody, to have chalitza done to her because she does fall from the fila. Now, actually, in this case, Reb Shimon is saying she doesn't need even chalitza because actually she's the sister of the zakuka because they're both zakuk biblically. But he's not going to realize that, oh, of course she doesn't need chalitza because she's an erva. But that's not really the case. And that's going to come and cause future problems. When we have an Issa Mitzvah, people are going to think, oh, she's an Erva. She's a rabbinic Erva, but she's an Erva. And therefore, she can just go on her way. She doesn't need neither Yibam nor Chalitza. And it's not true because she needs Chalitza. Now, that the Gemara asks, fine. So, Hatenech Ihi. I understand why you're mandating Chalitza for the Issa Mitzvah herself. Remember, we're talking about two sisters falling in front of the third brother, the Yavam. So we understand that the Issa Mitzvah itself should require Chalitza, because if she doesn't require Chalitza, meaning both of them do not require biblically according to Reb Shimon, because they're both Achay Zakukas, which he holds biblically doesn't require. Now, but then there's a concern, because what's the concern? Regarding the Issa Mitzvah herself, if we let her go scot-free, people are going to think, oh, because she's an Erva, but that's not true. But Achay Samayek Lemema, what are you going to say about her sister, the other one? Why over there do you require her to have chalitza? What do you mean? You should just let her go free because she's a chayzakuka. What's the concern over there? No one's going to think she's an erva. Everyone knows she's not an erva to him. Now, so therefore, what's the futuristic problem that you'll encounter if you don't let her go free without chalitza? That the Gemara answers, it's actually a second tier to this gezerah. Gezerah achaysa mishum losa dida, which Rashi translates losa as like a term of mazel, meaning that it's because of the mazel of the Isser Mitzvah. In other words, if we allow the sister to go scot-free, then we might come to let the Isser Mitzvah go scot-free, because that's actually the halacha according to Shimon. They both could go. They're both Achay Zakukas biblically, and he holds that's a total exemption from Yim Chalitza. Therefore, we didn't want to let the sister go free, because if she goes, then the Isser Mitzvah will also go. Now, and if the Isser Mitzvah goes, that could be a future problem, because then people will assume they didn't pay attention to the sister. Oh, that woman, of course she didn't have Yibum or even Chalitza, because she's an Erva. But that's not true. She's just a rabbinic Erva. And in the future, if it wasn't a situation of a Chizakuga, would require at least Chalitza. But the Gemara asks, how can you say that's the reason of Reb Shimon? But Vogabi Erva lo Gezrinan, we have a similar case regarding the previous case of our Mishnah, when one of them is an Erva, and we don't make such a Gezer. In other words, that if one of these two sisters was an Issa Erva to the Yavam, the halacha the Mishnah quotes, as even Reb Shimon agreeing to, is that the erva is forbidden to the yavam, and then the yavam's totally permitted to the sister. And the erva, what happens is she goes out even without chalitza. And we don't say that the erva should have chalitza because of exer, because of our sister that's not an erva and is fit for yibum. And therefore, essentially, the Gemara is asking that here also, by the tzara of the Isser Mitzvah, according to Reb Shimon, she's an erva from the moment they became tsaris, meaning when they both became rivals in the Yibum, which is as because he holds that Achayza Kukais is a biblical halacha. So the question is, why over here do we require Chalitza from the Erva, because essentially that's what she is, the tsara of the Issa Mitzvah is an Erva, and you're saying why is because of her sister, because then her sister might end up going out without Chalitza also. But we require chalitza because the future, but we don't make such a gezer by the case of erva, where we let the erva go scot-free, even though the sister requires yibum chalitza. So what's the difference? Tzaras Isser Mitzvah, according to Reb Shimon, is also an erva. They're both actually an erva. They're both erva of Eshlach Shesh Lebanon because they're totally removed. But okay, so the Isser Mitzvah itself, I understand that you're requiring chalitza because of a future problem. But why should we make a gezer for her sister because of her? We don't make a similar type of gezer by the case of erva. that when her sister also requires something, give mechalitza, even though that's the intrinsic din, but we don't make then the erva go ahead and also require something, that you might come to do it by her sister. Why is it any different over here? So I think my answer is no. They're fundamentally different. Shani erva, when one of them is a full-fledged erva, it's his mother-in-law, it's his daughter, people know, everybody knows she doesn't need chalitza, but everyone also will know that her sister is not achayisa kuka, because achayisa kuka is only when they're both falling at the same time. Now everyone knows the erva doesn't fall. And therefore, v'kola yisla, people are talking about it, they know, and hence they're not going to come to permit the sister to go out without chalitza, because everyone knows she's the only one that's falling. But regarding the case of Reb Shimon, when he holds that both achayis akukas are an erva, not everybody knows such a what's called a lomdisha erva, to know that the sisters both have the same halacha of an erva of achayis akukas. Hence, if you're going to let her go out without chalitza, then you might come to let out the other sitza, which is also the isur mitzvah, to also go out without chalitza, because you let her go out without chalitza, why should let her also go out without chalitza? And if we let her go out without chalitza, that's as we said before, that might come a futuristic problem of a general issa mitzvah bi'alma, which is then people might assume, oh, I don't know about any other the sisters, but I know this woman didn't even need yim or chalitza. Oh, must be because she was an issa mitzvah. And issa mitzvah doesn't need yim or chalitza, but that's not true. Issa mitzvah does require generally an obligation of chalitza, and that's why we required chalitza v'har, and moreover, a chalitza for even for our sister. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnayos, talking about when there's many different brothers that are married to two sisters. Now specifically, our Mishnah will introduce a new topic, that of Maimer, and how that fits into the mix. So the Mishnah begins, Shloisha Achen, like the previous Mishnah, three brothers. Shnayim Nesu'in Shtei Achayos, two of them are married to two sisters, that's the same. Now here the difference is Ve'echad Mufne, the third brother, he's still single, he's not married to anyone. Now, meis echad mi bale achayis, if one of the brothers that were married to the sisters, only one of them died. Now, v'asaba mufna maimer. Now, the third brother, the single brother, he made a maimer, which a maimer is a rabbinic kedushin that works for a yevama. He didn't do yibim, but he did a maimer. V'achkach meis achav hasheni, and then the second brother who is married to the other sister, he dies. So now we have the following machlokes. B'shami aimrim ishto ima. He says that his wife remains with him. In other words, the mimer, which we'll see in the Gemara, if that's like a kedushin or that's like a nisuin, what that is, it made this woman like she's married to him. Now therefore, when her sister falls, because the other brother then dies, then his current wife, meaning through the mimer, does not become asa to him because of a chayis zikuka, because she's already his wife. And actually, the other one, the second brother that now died, his wife actually gets removed even from chalitza, mishama chaysisha. Actually, she doesn't even come to the parish of Yibin. She's an erva of a chaysisha, because since he did maimer already to the first sister, so he's like married to her, so she's ishtoi. Now, when the second one falls, she doesn't make the first one a chaysikuka and therefore not be able to consummate Yibin with her. Actually, she's already his wife, and the other one gets removed because she's a chaysishtoi, and therefore you don't even need chalitza. That's Beit Shammai's opinion. Basil say no. Maimer does not make her like your wife. And therefore, Maitzias Ishtoi beget b'chalitza. What he has to do is, the first woman that he did Maimer with, so he has to do chalitza to her, because he cannot marry her, because she's, now that the other one fell, she's a chayis zakuka, because that one's zakuk, and that makes her the sister of zakuk. Now, additionally, he needs to give her, besides chalitza, to remove that zika, he also has to give a get to then undo the Maimer that he had done in her. And then the Eisha Zachav Bachalitza, and then his wife, meaning the one that he had done Maimer with, her sister, the brother's wife, that the other one, he has to Chalitza to. And that's what the Mishnah concludes, Zuhi Shamer, regarding such a case, is what they said, that you're both lost from both sides. Oiloy Alish, they wrote him for his wife, that he has to divorce her, because although he started the relationship, but he didn't completely consummate it, and therefore it was too late because the other one fell, making her impossible to marry because of a chayis zakuka, and v'oyle alesha sachev awarded him about his brother's wife because now he also lost the opportunity to do yibim to the other one because she's also a chayis ishtoi or a chayis zakuka. As Tesa explains, the reason why it's saying is that it's fitting for him to be in pain because he lost his wife through no fault of his own. It's just because he didn't completely consummate it before the other one fell, making her a chayis zakuka. Now the Gemara asks on this last terminology that the Mishnah concluded with, Zuhi l'ma'utei mai, when it says this is a case of where, oh my, you lost not only your wife, you lost the Eishes Achiv, you can't do either one because of the situation that you're in. What's that coming to exclude? That the Gemara says, l'ma'utei hach Rabbi Shua, it excludes the halacha that Rabbi Shua said, which is brought in Perek B'Shameh and the Kavtes and Aleph, where he says the same halacha of oylai al ishtei, oylai al Eishes Achiv, regarding a case where if he's married to a minor, and then his brother dies, and then an adult falls for him, where then he says that you're lost from both, because since you have a biblical halacha of yim chalitza from the adult, and although it's your wife's sister, but the thing is, you only married to a minor, which biblically that's not considered as a full-fledged marriage, so you have to divorce the wife, and then you have to chalitza to the yavama, because still, rabbinically, you were married to that girl. Nothing Gemara says, the law of the Nikavasei. Our Mishnah is saying that we don't do like him, and this is the only case where we say you lose the wife and the brother's wife, because Ella Ikrem Gamliel, rather either do like Gamliel, who he says that no, you could wait till the minor wife becomes a Gedaila, and then you could remove the Yavama, and you could remain married to the wife. Or Ikrem Elazar, or like Elazar, who he says actually the other way around, that you teach the minor wife to do Miyun, which retroactively uproots that you were never married to her, and then you could do the Yibum to the Yavama, because she was never a chesishta because it was retroactively removed, and therefore either you could maintain the wife or the yavama. And however, but not like Rabbi Shua, who says that you have to lose both. That's what our Mishnah is saying, that only in this case you would lose both, but not in the case of Rabbi Shua. Now the Gemara comes to explain the halacha of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said that doing the maimer makes her your wife, you can maintain her, and the new one, the new sister that falls, she's removed because she's a chesishta. So now Amr Lazar Blazar comes, and the coming daf comes to elaborate on the opinion of the halacha of Beis Shammai in how they're defining Maimer. So Blazar says, Lo itema Maimer le Beis Shammai koine kine gomer. Don't learn as one would think, as it sounds like from the Mishnah, that Beis Shammai learns that this Maimer, which is some type of a union that's created for the Yibum without doing Yibum yet, that it's a full-fledged kinyan, that she's totally like his wife, that would mean, that if, let's say, after the maimer, you have a change of heart and say, look, I don't want to stay married to her, that then all you have to do is a get, because you're totally married to her already through the maimer. It's not true. The only thing that it is eligible, like we see from the Mishnah, is just it rejects the other sister falling from the other brother. In other words, we make that the other sister who's falling now will not make this one that you already did Maimer usur that because she's a chesakuka. Now we say that no. Maimer says she's the one. She's already somewhat married, and therefore, although there's a Zika falling, we say no, that Zika is irrelevant, because I can't be bound to her. I already have a relationship that's further along with her sister, making her a chesishta, the one that fell second, as she's removed, and it's not going to make this one forbidden. But not that she's totally your wife, and that is if you want to get rid of her, you give a get. No, it wouldn't be enough with a get yet. You're not totally married. Amr Bavan, he says, Avanan Amatanina, he says, I could bring a riot to this. And so we learned in the Mishnah, Daf Chavav Manal. We're there, the Mishnah says, that was the beginning of the Perek, which talks about when there's four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, the two sisters' husbands die, and they fall in front of the two remaining brothers. So Halacha, the Mishnah says, is that initially they cannot go ahead and do Yibim to them. Rather, you have to Chalitza to them because they're both Achayzakukas. Now, if they violated and they were Kansu, so it's recorded over there in the Mishnah that Bisham Emri Kaimu. Bishamay said that if they went and they were Kainas, then they could remain married to them. Now, the inference that the Gemara makes of that Rabbi Ovin is proving from is Yikaimu in Likitchilaloi, that yes, they can go ahead and if they went and they did Yibim, then they could maintain it. But initially, they cannot do Yibim, and the reason is because Beis Shammai agrees to the halacha of a chayesakuka. There's a problem. There's Zika. There's a yes Zika here. There's a bond to each one. And if you're going to do Yibim to either one, you're going to be encountering your quasi-wife's sister, because each one is a wife to you, and then the other one's a chayesishta. So l'katchila, you cannot do that. So it's only after the fact that you kaima. Now, the Gemara continues, Amud Beis. So Rebbevin says, if you would assume that Beis Shammai holds that a maimer is a full-fledged kinyan, she becomes totally your wife. Well, what do you mean? Zeyaisa maimer, let one of the brothers do maimer in one of the yavamas. Veyikne, and he'll totally acquire her, totally like she's his wife. And the reason is because there's no iser in doing a maimer in the yavama. The only problem is doing bia, meaning having, being intimate with her, because then you're going to be encountering a chayis ishtei. There's no isser in doing a maimer in a chayis ishtei. It's only a problem about having bia. Now, if you're going to do maimer, then she's totally like his wife, and then you're going to totally exclude her sister from having a zik on you. And then there's no machayisik ukasai, and then you can go ahead and full-fledged be kindness and marry this woman, meaning even initially. And same, v'zeh yeisa maimer v'yikna, let the other brother do maimer and the other one, and be kainahar. So obviously, maimer is not a full-fledged kinyan, because if it was a full-fledged kinyan, then what's the problem? The problem is that you cannot go ahead and do, really you would say, let each yavim do yibim to one of them. You can't, because you're going to encounter achayis zukuka. But there's a way around that the Gemara is saying, if you held that maimer as kinyan gomer, what you could do is, you can go around the back way. Do maimer, she becomes full-fledged your wife, and what that means is it removes the zika from the other one, and the same thing the other one does to the other one, and now they can go ahead and consummate their relationship because it's not a chizakuka. Obviously, then, it must be, like the Gemara is saying, is that it's not a full-fledged kinyan, and that's why you can't have this eitzah about doing maimer first. But the Gemara rejects this, right? Because Elamai, okay, so what are you going to say, as you wanted to prove, that's not a kinyan gomer, but you yourself said, but it does totally reject the tzara, meaning the other sister that's falling from the other brother. That's what we said, it's enough to do that, according to Beis Shammai. Well, then the question is still eligible. Let this one do maimer and reject the sister, and then marry that woman. And then let the other one do maimer and reject it. Because it's essentially the same thing. Even though it's not a kinyan gomer, but you agree, it totally rejects the other one, thus making this one that you did maimer and not a chesakuka. Elamayas l'chol maimer. So rather, what do you have to say? Meaning, according to everyone, you'll have to say it. Even if you say kinyan gomer or not, that you have to say that maimer dehetera, a permitted maimer. In other words, a maimer that was done at a time when, if you had wanted to do yibum, you could have done yibum, and instead you chose to do maimer. Which, that's like the case of our Mishnah, where when the first sister fell, and then the third single brother did mimer, well, that was a permitted mimer, meaning you knew you can go all the, you can go and totally fulfill and consummate their relationship by doing bia, and you know you just didn't do that. And then the second one fell, but at that time, mimer was a mimer d'atera. Then dochi, then that rejects, when then the next sister falls to say, oh, too late already. We already did Mimer, which was something that could have had Yibim even at that time, that rejects her. But the Surah, but the case of, like, for example, of our Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek, when you have two sisters falling before Mimer was done, where at that time you can't do Bia, then Loi Dachi. Then that's not going to be Deicha, that's not going to reject the other sister. And if so, he says, Sachinami, same thing works, even if you want to say that it's a, being Kaina, the woman. That Mimer, a filaman de amma, Mimer kaina kinya gummer, if you're going to say Mimer, even according to the interpretation that would say that it is a full-fledged kinyan, again, it wouldn't be a raya from that Mishnah that you like what you want to say, that Mimer is not kaina kinya gummer, because you could say the same thing. Mimer de hetera kani, only if you could have done bia and you're doing Mimer, then that's going to be kaina, to then make her like a full-fledged wife, disura, like kani. But if it's done at a time and you could not have done, like the case of a Mishnah, that's not going to be kaina, and therefore there's no raya from our Mishnah in the beginning of this parak to show that, oh, must be that maimer is not a full-fledged kinyan. Like the Gemara wanted to explain in Beis Shammai's opinion, oh, because if it could be, then do maimer, and then there's no achay zekuka. It's not true, because the same thing is, even according to what you want to say, that it's just daicha, you also could have done it. Rather, the reason why you can't do it is because it can't reject at a time when both of them are here already. Therefore, you could say the same thing, even if you say Mimer is kind of kinyagamer, you can't say it at a time when both of them are here ready to make her like a full-fledged wife, and that's why Beis Shammai only say, b'di eved, b'lek etchil aloi. That's one version in the previous interpretation of Rebbe Elazar's definition of Beis Shammai's opinion. Now, Rav Ashi actually learned a different version of Rebbe Elazar, which actually the Chiddush is the other way around. Amar Belaza, like he said in the first version, Loi Tema Maimer Le Beis Shammai Dochi Tchiyah Gemur. Now here the Chiddush is the other way around. He's saying that both the versions of Belaza are saying that it's going to be rejecting. It's not going to be Kainahar as totally a wife. But the first version's Chiddush was that, oh, it's only going to be rejecting, and but it won't make her a full-fledged wife. Here this version is saying the other way. Don't say it's going to be a full-fledged rejection, and that what? And that Bitsarasa, that her co-rival for the Yava, meaning her sister, that became a tzara through the Zika, that chalitza namer lebayim, that she shouldn't even need chalitza, meaning because, as as the first version had said, because, oh, she's a Chayis Isha, the Maimer, okay, didn't make her like a full-fledged wife, but enough to reject the next sister that she falls, no. Elodeicha, rather, it's just enough to reject the other one from rejecting the one that you had the Maimer on, but Umeshayuhu, but it actually leaves over. In other words, this version holds that you actually still have to do Chalitza. In other words, if someone else wants to come and marry that other sister that you didn't do Maimer in, if the Yavim didn't yet consummate the relationship and do Bia with the one he did Maimer to, you would still have to do Chalitza to remove her. Now, as Rashi says, the Gemara later on is going to ask, that from our Mishnah it seems not like that. Our Mishnah says clearly, Halazu Teitze Mishum HaChayis Isha, that the Balas Maimer is the one that he can maintain, and then it removes the other one because she's the sister of your wife. Which sounds like that she's totally removed, even without Chalitza. But that's how this version of Rebbe Elazar is saying it, in that as Rav Ashi is bringing, and that is, it's not for sure it's not going to be, Maimer is not a total acquisition as a wife, and it's just rejecting the other one. But this version is saying that it doesn't even totally reject her. It just rejects her that she shouldn't make a problem for the one that you did a Maimer to, and that you could maintain her. But you would still have to do Chalitza to the other one. Now, Amr Bavin, now this version has Rav Bavin supporting and saying, Afananam Tanina, so too we learned from that Mishnah of Chavav. Rabbi Shammai said that if these two brothers went, and even though we said Chalitzas, they did Yibim anyway so that they can maintain them, Yikaimu Yen Leket Chilullah, which means that after the fact you could, but initially they're not allowed to do Yibim. Now, V'isak Gedai Dechamayim Rabbi Shammai Dechid Chiyigamur, if you were to entertain. Not like Rabbi Elazar is saying in this version, that it totally rejects the other sister, that she shouldn't be Zakuk them anymore. Well, then, let this one do Maimer and reject the other sister from bothering the one that he did Maimer to. Let the other one do Maimer and that reject and stop the other one from rejecting this one from him, and then he'll marry that one. Obviously, you have to say, it doesn't totally reject the other one. And therefore, as long as the other one still, you have to do Chalitza to her, so then she's still Zakuk, so that's why it's going to make a problem for either one. And that's the raya from that Mishnah that you see that it's not a total rejection of the other one. Which that was that the Gemara had said in the first version that that's not a raya. Here it seems to be clear that yes, even if you say it's not a kinyan gomer, but we're saying even more, it's obviously not even going to be totally rejecting the other one. And it's just enough to stop her from bothering this one. But now the Gemara asks on this version of Rebbe Elazar. Belakatani, but we learned in our Mishnah, as we mentioned this from Rashi before, our Mishnah says, Bishame imim ishta imat. The one he did Maimer to, she's his wife, she stays with him. V'halazu, and the other sister that falls afterwards, Teitze Mishum HaChayis Isha, she gets removed because she's his wife's sister. Which sounds like that you don't even need Chalitza, and she's totally rejected. Now that's not like how Rebbe Elazar had said, that you're still going to require Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, truth is that we have to say, as Rebbe Elazar said in the first version, that it is a total rejection of the other sister. Then the question is, but we learned in the Mishnah Daf Chavav Meraf, the beginning of the Perek, regarding the four brothers, so why don't you say the same thing there also, that let each brother do Maimer in one of the Yavamas, and that will reject the other one from being Zakuk to him, and then each one could go ahead and be kindness, the one that he did Maimer to. So and that is what the Gemara is answering now for this version of Belaza, that it's not comparable to our Mishnah. Because the reason is, in our Mishnah, when the first one fell and he did Maimer to her, it was Yavama Dechazi Lekula. It was a Yavama that was fit for everything. And this is similar to what the first version had said in differentiating between the two Mishnayos. That you could have done anything a Yavam needs. You could have done Yibum, you could have done Chalitza, because she was the only one that fell at that time. Therefore, Chazir L'Miktsasa. So therefore, she's also eligible for part way, meaning a Maimer, which is only part way. You're not fully consummating or severing. And therefore, the Maimer will work, that when the other sister falls, it will be rejecting her. But over there in the Mishnah, and Daf Chavav, where both of them fell before Maimer was done, a Yavama Dolechazi Lekulo, Yavama that's not fit for everything to be done, meaning to do all the things of Yibum, because you cannot do Yibum, then Lechazi Lemiktsas, and then she's not fit to do even part of the way, and that's why Maimer will not reject her sister. Again, similar to like the Svara of the Lishna Kam, the first version, where there's a difference between Maimer Dehetero or Deisura. That is, in our Mishnah, when you did Maimer, you could have done Yibum, but you didn't. So that will work. Then when the sister comes around, it will reject her. But the Mishnah Daf Chavav, where both of them fell already, and now you can do Maimer is not strong enough. That would be classified as like a Maimer de Isura, where you cannot go ahead and do Chazi Lekulu. You can't do everything. You can't do Yibum that time. And therefore, Maimer will not work to allow that passing through to then make and reject the other one.
So although Maimer does reject, it could only reject at a time the Heter. Now the Gemara continues on this theme of the opinion of Beis Shammai regarding the halacha of Maimer. So Rabba asked the following question. Maimer le Beis Shammai. Regarding the halacha of Maimer according to Beis Shammai, Tosfos Yerushalmi explains, as we'll see in elaboration of this in the coming daf, that obviously the question of Rabba is only going to according to the opinion of Reb Ami, that's going to be mentioned later on, that he holds according to Beis Shammai that Maimer is a full-fledged acquisition of the Yavama, and not like the opinions mentioned here where it's only rejecting, as we saw from the two versions of Reb Elazar, where it's not a kinyan at all, and therefore the whole question wouldn't begin. Rather, it's going according to those opinions that hold it is a full-fledged acquisition. Now, the question only that the Gemara is asking is, Nisuin Oisa, does it make her like a marriage? Or Erisin Oisa, does it make it only like Kedushin? That is, there's two stages to a regular woman getting married. There's Kedushin, which is the engagement, and then there's Nisuin, which is the marriage, and both of them are done under the chuppah, which we do the ring, which is the kedushin, and then we do the chuppah, which is the marriage, and then the yichid room. So the question, however, is, although Beis Shammai holds that Maimer is a kinyan in the woman, and that's why she's your wife, and therefore rejects the zikah of the other one, and she's not a problem, and she gets removed, is it like nisuin, which is even further along, or is it like erisin, that is only kedushin? So that Amar Abaye, Abaye said to Rabbi's question, l'may helcha, so let's clarify your question. What halacha are you trying to differentiate? What would make the difference? Ilema, if you're going to say the differences for the following halachas which apply only by nisuin and not by erisin, if it's liyarsha, let's say to inherit her, that once you did the maimer you can inherit her, or only tamila, or that the halacha is that you can, if let's say he's a kohen, to be metamat to her, or lahaf and nedireha, or if she's totally his wife, that it was considered marriage already, that if she takes an oath that he can nullify it. But that Abaye says, it doesn't make sense to say such a question. In other words, even if you want to say that she should be like Nisuin, but if Hashta Rusa Ba'alma, if a regular woman that's engaged, where her Kedushin is biblical, Tani Reb Chiya, still Reb Chiya taught in the Braisa, that Ishta Rusa, when one has a woman that he's just engaged to, so the halacha is Loi Einin. He does not, when she dies, he does not become an einin, which is a halacha of when one has a relative that dies on that day when that person died, so the relative is considered einin. He doesn't have a halacha of einin that is forbidden to partake of kachim. V'lo mitamala, neither is he allowed to be mitama. That is, if he's a kayin, she's not considered, as the pasuk calls it, she'era hakarvalav. The wife is called as she'era. She's not considered his wife. She was just engaged to him, and therefore he cannot be mitamata. And the same thing b'chein he, same thing works in reverse. Regarding her, lo einanis, she's not considered an oinin that she's forbidden to partake of kachim. And she doesn't have to be metama herself to him. Now Rashi clarifies, says it didn't necessarily have to say that v'le metamas, because actually the women that are from the kahanim, they don't have an isra of being metame. It's just because it said that she's not oinenis, which we had to say, so we said the limitamas to make it equivalent of when by him we say he's not an oinin and he cannot be metame. So we say the same thing by her. Or another interpretation Rashi brings is actually v'loy metam is actually an iser, for example, on the yomtiv, when even regular Yisraelim, anyone in the Jewish people, is not allowed to be metame, as it says in the pasuk, "Ibn Ablasim lets go," as the Gemara explains in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. That's what it's saying, that she cannot be metame herself to him because she's not his wife, and therefore when he dies, she cannot be metame to him. Now, Mesa, if she dies, in the Yarsha, he doesn't inherit him. He doesn't inherit her. Now, however, if Meishu, if he dies, she is gave a ksuba. So she does get her ksuba, and that's if he wrote in the ksuba that from the erisin that you're going to get your ksuba, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Ksubas. Now, that's what the halacha that's brought in the Braisa B'chiyah. So Abaye concludes his question on Rabbah's inquiry. He says, so if that's the case, by a biblical kedushin, that still there's no halacha of Yerusha Mitama, so then Aved B'maimer, so when this Yavam did a Maimer, which, although Rashi calls it Dirabanan, the Rishonim explained that we're talking about the opinion of Beis Shammai, who does hold this deraisa, but it's still considered not a full-fledged biblical consummation of this relationship, to call it like the equivalent of Nisuin by a regular woman, because the Torah tells you, Yavama Yavi Aleha, you have to do Bia to consummate the relationship of Yivim. So even if you're going to, so to speak, call this Maimer as a Nisuin, what's the difference? You obviously cannot be Yerusha or be Metamaha, because if we find by a biblical halacha of Kiddushin, which is more full-fledged than what Yibum, than what Maimer would be by the Yavam, and there, you cannot be Yerusha, you cannot be Metamaha, you need to have Nisuin to do that. So, if the equivalent of nisuin by a yavam is bia, and that you didn't do, you just did maimer. So of course you cannot go ahead. As the Gemara says, mibaya, can you entertain to say that you'll be able to be yarshin or mimetamatar just because you did maimer? So therefore, Abaye says, obviously, obviously your question is not regarding yarshin mitama. Of course you can't do that just with maimer. Your question would be, would we have to bring her to the chuppah? Meaning that's the equivalent of generally by a regular woman, when you do kedushin with the ring, then you still have to do the next phase of nisuin, of doing the chuppah. And that, your question would be, my, would you have to do that? And that is, do you say nisuin oisa, that maimer is the equivalent of nisuin? Now, although we just said it's not the equivalent for yibum as nisuin, because that you need bia for, but in regards to the processes of regular kedushin, which is what you're channeling now through maimer, because you don't need maimer for yibum. You could just go straight to bia. But you're taking the channels of regular kedushin. You did the kedushin, which would be the halach of maimer. Now, maybe you're saying it's already like nisuin. So then nisuin oisa, that you already did nisuin, and that you wouldn't go ahead and have to bring her to the chuppah. And that what that halacha would mean is that if, let's say, he went and did be with her now, even forcefully, without chuppah, he would acquire her. And therefore, if he wants to remove her, he can go ahead and remove her with a get. He wouldn't have to go ahead and then do nisuin to then require the halacha of considering her as a full-fledged wife. Maybe that, no. Actually, maimer only makes her like she's engaged. And then you have to go ahead and have a chuppah. That's what Abaye is telling Rabbah. It would sound like that's your question. Now, on that, Amalei, so that Abaye concludes his problem with this inquiry. Hashtalei oved b'maimer, if the Yavam had not done maimer, Ksiv the Pasuk says, Yavama Yavay Leha, that the Yavam can come to the Yavama and have bia with her, Balkarcha, as the Gemara explains elsewhere, that even against her will, he can acquire her, and she becomes his wife for everything just with that bia, even without doing chuppah. So oved b'maimer meboye, so what? Doing maimer makes her worse? Can you entertain that if it does maimer, that then, so you're saying that, oh, maybe that's like only kedushin like erusin. And that what? You'll still need the suin of what? Coming to the chuppah. How can you need a chuppah if you didn't even need maimer in the first place? And if you didn't need maimer, you could have gone straight to bia. So of course now when you're doing maimer, you're not making it worse. So what's the havim to think that you would need chuppah, and that's what your question is asking, that maybe it's like kedushin only and you need chuppah. So that Amalei, so Rabba answers, he says, no, you're right. That was my question. And you know why? It actually does make it worse. Shani Yemen, because I say, whoever does this maimer, this rabbinic type of kedushin or nisuin for the yavama, parcha mimenu zikas yavman. You actually, what you did is that you already created a new relationship with her, whether it be kedushin or nisuin. So what that removed was the bond of yibum. The bond of yibum is there only as long that you do something with it. You either do chalitza to remove it, or you do yibum to then consummate it. But then it's not there anymore. Now, once you went and you did maimer, you created a new bond, but a different alternative version. And therefore, v'chala aleha zikas erison, now you actually created a different bond, that possibly of just erison. And then, therefore, you would have to do nisuin to follow along that avenue of regular women. And therefore, if he actually has relations with her after maimer without chuppah, he's not kind of, because you have to first do chuppah to go ahead and do that, because you're actually worse than the regular Yavam, where you could go straight to bia, because that's the approach of yibum. But you didn't do the approach of yibum. You went the approach of regular women, which is doing a mimer. Now, if you say that it's only considered a kedushin, that's why you actually would have to do chuppah to do nisuin and then have relations with her. And that's my question: is it like kedushin that it needs chuppah, or is it like nisuin that it doesn't need chuppah? So I think my says Tashima. So come in here. Let's prove this from a Mishnah Maseches Nedarim. The Mishnah says Shemeris Yavam. A woman that's waiting for the yavam. That's the word shomer means. It means anticipating. She's a woman that her husband died and the brothers didn't do anything yet. So she's waiting. Will they do yibum to me? Will they do chalitza? So she's waiting. So that the Mishnah says, bein yavam echad, bein shnei yavam. Whether there's one remaining brother or whether there's two remaining brothers. So that Rabbi Elazar Omer Yafer. He says that one of the two brothers, whichever one wants to be, if this woman that's a shomeris yavam, makes an oath, she takes a vow, and as her husband dies, she says something like whatever it is. So the halacha is that the husband could be made for her neder. So that Rabbi Elazar is saying a chiddush. He's saying that even the yavam, who is not her husband yet, and actually there's two brothers, he says it doesn't make a difference, whichever one wants to could nullify her vow. Rabbi Shua Emer, he argues, he says, L'echad, when there is only a Shemeres Yavam to one Yavam, then that one remaining Yavam, he's considered like the husband. He could be made for the nether. But if the Shemeres Yavam falls to two Yavamim, then neither one can go ahead and be made for that nether. And the third opinion, Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says, no, it doesn't make a difference if she falls to one Yavam or two Yavam. Neither cases can have the Yavam being made for her nether. Now, Vavinaban, in the Gemara and the Derma that we inquired, we asked regarding how do we understand these three opinions. So the Gemara there said, Bishlam Rabbi Kiva Saba Ein Zika, we understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion. He, as we had mentioned on previous Dafim, there's a machlekes, yes, Zika, is there a bond between the Yavam and the Yavam, or is there no bond? Rabbi Kiva holds there's no Zika to make her like as if they're married. Afelachad, even when there's only one Yavam, and therefore we don't say as if they're married, and that is, oh, so she's like, he's the husband to her, and he can be made for another. No, and therefore, since there's no Zika, even if there's one Yavam, he can't be made for another. She's alone, he's not the husband, and he can't nullify her another. The Rabbi Shua, we also understood, because Lachad Yesh Zika, he held that when there's one Yavam, then there's Zika, because he's going to be the one. So it's already like they're basically married. Latrei ain't Zika, but for two, when there's two Yavam, there's no Zika because you don't know which one's going to be the husband. And therefore, even more so, even if both of them went together to be made for a nether, their nullification, the hafar, is not hafar because their Zika is so weak. We don't view, even though there's maybe even a weak bond, but it's not enough of a bond to say that as if both are married. You can't both marry. And therefore, none of them could go ahead and be made for a nether. But Al Rabbi Elazar, but we asked over there in that Gemara. According to him, even if you say that there's a bond, but we can understand when there's one Yavam, so then there's a strong bond. It's like almost like they're married, so he's like the husband, he can be made for a nether. But when there's two Yavamim, why? Even if you say there's Zika, and there's Zika to when there's two Yavamim. But, as Rashi explains, you should need both of them to be made for the nether, at least, because you don't know who's going to be the one. So how can you say that either one of them go ahead and be made for the nether? How can we say that him, even if we say Yeshika, let both of them have to need to go ahead and be made for the nether? And at that, Rabbi explained over there, Chachmai Eskinon, what's the understanding of Rabbi Elazar's opinion? It's talking about Kikun de Ovid B'Maimer, where one of them went and made a Maimer in the Avama. Or Beishame, it's going like Beishame's opinion, the Amr, that he says, Maimer Koin the Kinya Gomer, that Maimer acquires a full-fledged acquisition in her, and therefore she's like his wife. And of course, you can go ahead and be made for the nether. That's the understanding of Rabbi Elazar, even when there's two Yavam, because one made a Maimer. Now the Gemara concludes the proof. If you say that Maimer makes it like a marriage, like Nisu in the second stage in the marriage, that's why Rabbi Elazar's opinion, again, as it was explained by Rabbi Ami, it going according to Beis Shammai, because you're full-fledged married, and a married woman has her husband being made for another. But if you would say, as which was a rabbi's question in Beis Shammai, that a Maimer only makes her like she's engaged, how could that be enough, which was the understanding in Rabbi Elazar's opinion, for the Yavim to go out and be made for another now? But now we learn the Mishnah Masechta Nedarim that says, regarding a Naira, Naira is a girl between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half. Hamayrasa, that's engaged. So the Mishnah there says, Avia ubaila mafin nedireha, that it has to be a joint partnership of the father and her husband, who is just engaged to her, only the two of them can jointly be made for her neder. Now Taisa explains, but let's say if she doesn't have a father at that time, or if let's say she's already past the age of 12 and a half when she becomes a bekeres, then actually the fiance, the one that she's engaged to, actually cannot be made for a neder. As the Gemara explains in Masechta Nedarim, andaf ein alf and alf. And therefore, the Gemara proves, obviously, Maimer makes her like a Nesua. And that's why Rabbi Elazar says that as Rabbi Ami interpreted, that by having one of them doing a Maimer, makes her like she's Nesua, like she's already married, and that's why he could be made for Neder, because it was only like Eris, and we see clearly that in Arusa, the Baal, the one that she's engaged to, does not have enough authority to be made for a Neder. It's only when he could do it jointly with the father. So that thing rejects the Raya. Amr Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, he says, you're right, my Mefer, what does Rabbi Elazar mean when he says that, based on the opinion of Beis Shammai, that the Yavim could be made for the nether? It means made for Beshutfas. It means that he could do it in partnership together with the father, as Anarusa, as we just quoted from the Mishnah Masechta Nedarim, that someone that she's engaged to with her father can be made for a nether. But you're right, we're not talking about that he himself. he is the one of the two Yavamim that could do it because he did the Maimer, but it has to be together with the father, and therefore it's not a Raya. It could be it's only making it like Erison. So there's no Raya to Rabbi's question. But now the Gemara segues into asking the following question. Well, the Rebbe Lazar, now this is not Rebbe Eliezer that we're quoting over here in this Mishnah that we're explaining. This is going back on Rebbe Lazar, who was mentioned on this daf, both here on Amud Beis and then Amud Aleph. The Gemara is asking, Rebbe Lazar, the Amar Maimer LeBishamei Nekoina, he's on record as saying, not like Rabami. He says that Bishamei, even according to Bishamei with Maimer, as we saw in our Mishnah, he says that you do a Maimer, the other one will not be a problem for you, but it doesn't acquire her as a wife. Ela Litres Litzar Blavad, the only thing that it does is that it rejects the second sister to fall after the Maimer, that she won't make the one that you already did Maimer for, that she won't be a problem of a Chizekuk. So according to his interpretation of Bishamei, am I made for Bishutvis, meaning we just concluded now, based on the question, the inquiry of Rabbah, that it's not a raya from this Rebbe Lazar, who's going according to Beis Shammai, that the Yavim could be made for, even though there's two Yavim, because it's in partnership with the father. But the question is, if according to Rebbe Lazar's interpretation of Beis Shammai, again that of from Amud Beis and Amud Aleph, that he said that it doesn't even acquire it, even like an Erison, that there's no kinyan here, it just rejects the other one, to say that she's not a problem for her. So why could the Yavim, even in partnership, be made for the neder with the father if she's not even arusa to him? He's nothing to her. And so why could you be made for bishutvas? So Amalach Rebbe Lazar, would tell you, Eimer de Amri Anoa, Eina Koina, El Litzchus Litzar Bava. When did I say this? That she's not acquired to him like a wife at all, just enough to reject the other sister falling. That's the Leisagila Begitta. I meant that in the context that she's not your wife, that now if you want to remove her, it would be enough for the get. Rather, what I meant to say was that actually you would still need to do chalitza to the woman that you did a mimer to. In other words, someone that does a mimer to Yavama and he wants to remove her, so you need a chalitza and a get. And we don't say that she's a full-fledged wife and it's enough for the get. That's what I was saying. But did I say it in the context of being made for a neder? I didn't say that. Of course, in the context of being made for a neder, a mimer would make her like she's whether married or engaged. She would be like engaged. And therefore, he could be, as Rebbe Lazar in this Mishnah, in this Mishnah, Masechet Nedarim is explaining that he could do it in partnership with the father. Because you are engaged. I was just saying that you're not kind of full-fledged, that it's enough to divorce her just with a get, but that you would also need chalitza. That's one version of what Rebbe Lazar would tell you why it's not difficult on him. V'ibayi same if you want, another approach is that Amachalach Rebbe Lazar, would tell you, he would answer as follows. He says, look, L'Rav Nachman b'Yitzchuk minicha, and what? You're asking on me. What am I going to do? How could he be made for together with the father if I'm saying that there's no kinyan at all? What do you mean? According to Rav Nachman b'Yitzchuk, it makes sense? Meaning, even according to him that he says that there is a kinyan in the Yavama. But that would only make sense if Maimer makes it as a Nisuin, which that's the question of Rabbah. But according to Rav Nachman that it says that it only makes an Erison, does that make sense? What do you mean? Then you would have to do it in a partnership. And Mikatani Yeferu, does the Mishnah there say that they are made for the Neder? Yafra Gatani. It says that he's made for the Neder. And if it was like the interpretation that the Gemara gave before, for Rav Nachman, it should have to say, Yeferu, that it was done a partnership. And that is, Rebbe Lazar doesn't agree to such an answer to say, oh, that it meant he could do it with the father. Then it should have said, Yeferu. So, Ella, so what do you have to say, even according to Rav Nachman, Yitzchok, Rebbe Lazar would tell you, that Hachamei Eskinan, what are we talking about over here, that actually, that even I could say, that it says, like it says in that Mishnah over there, that Yafer, the Rebbe Lazar says, that the Yavim will be able to do it himself, is talking about a different case. Sha'amda Badin, that she stood in din. What that means is that she tells the Bezdin and says, look, I'm waiting, I want the Yavim to do something, let him do Yim, let him do Chalitza, but he's got to do something, I can't stay here in Aguna my whole life. So on that, Rebbe Lazar is telling you, according to me, this case of that Mishnah in the Dharma would be talking about even without a Maimer. And the contrary of Ami would be talking about after a Maimer, which that he holds makes her like a Nesua. But what happened was that the Yavim didn't want to do either one. He didn't want to go ahead and do Yibam, but neither did he want to remove her and do Chalitza. He was in doubt, and he couldn't do anything. And then he went and then Apaskula Mezayinus Mishalai. So what Bezdin did was, because as the Braisa teaches us later on the Mem Aleph Amud Beis, that if there was Amida Bedin, meaning she comes to court and she says, look, I'm waiting for the Yavam, let him do something. And instead of doing something, he runs away. So halacha is that Nizaynis Mishal Yavam, the Yavam's property has to feed her because it's his fault, it's his negligence that nothing's happening with her, that she wasn't married to him or having Chalisa, that she can marry something else, someone else. Which thus, and that's what Rabbi Elazar is explaining, that makes him like her husband, as in the context of the Dharm. As the Gemara explains, any woman that makes it, that takes an oath, al das b'ilehi neideres, she does it with the intention that it should be willing for her husband to agree to it. Now, that's the criteria for nedarim, to say that the husband could be made for the neder, because that's the understanding, the logic behind it is that she doesn't want to upset him because she gets everything she needs from him, and therefore, if she's taking an oath, it's only if he agrees to it. But that gives him the veto power of making it, being made for the neder. And therefore, what Rabbi Elazar is saying in the second version is that, no, even if he says Maimer is not koina, even in the context of anything else, there's no kinyan, it just rejects the other tzara. But still, the Yavam will be able to be made for by himself. Why? Because even if you hold it's not koina, but in the context of Nadarm, that there's a different halacha. The context of Nadarm is that if he's feeding you, you have to agree, and that's how a woman usually is, that then he'll be able to veto that. And since we're talking about a case where there was already an Amidah Bedin, which is that although he didn't do anything, didn't do Maimer according to Rabbi Elazar, didn't do Yibam, didn't do Chalitza, but she came to Bezdin, and Bezdin says, no, do something. And instead of doing something, he runs away. So then halach is that then his properties have to feed her. Oh, then she then goes into that halacha of called Neideres, al das b'ilehi Neideres. That's why he has veto power of being made for the Neder, is because since there was a Midah Bedin, in the context of the Nedarim, he's like the husband that can be made for the Neder.